بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We completed the signs of the Day of Judgment. We spoke about the final days, the final moments before the trumpet will be blasted. And now we move on to the next section, which from a human perspective could be considered the third life. The first life of the human being is the life of the souls before we come into this world. The second life is when we are in this world, which is split up into four or five different sections. All the way from infancy to being a toddler, to becoming a youth, middle age, old age, decrepitude, seniority, and evil old age for some. May Allah protect us. And then a person dies. And all of the billions of people who have come into this world from the time of Adam alayhi salam, and they've died in this world, and those of us here today that are still alive, and who will die before the trumpet is blown, then every single one of us enters into the third life. This third life is the life, a barrier between this world and the next world. It's called the barzakh, the intermediate realm. A realm, a place, an abode, a time between this world and the next world. And it is something that everybody has to go through. Those of us who die before the trumpet is blasted will be in that intermediate realm. All those who've passed away before us, they are all in the intermediate realm right now. That's the realm that they're in. And if there's those who are left at the time when the trumpet will be blasted, those people will then enter the intermediate realm then. Just merely due to the fact that from our perspective, if somebody's been in that realm from a long time ago, according to us, we may assume that somebody who died many, many thousands of years ago, who's entered into that realm because they died from this world, there may be a difference between how long they feel they're staying there, as, for example, compared to somebody that dies many thousand years later, or even compare it with somebody who will die eventually at the blast of the trumpet. The thing is that Allah knows best exactly how it will be experienced. Because the whole aspect of that realm is that for a good person, that place is a garden of paradise. And for an evil person, it's a pit of hellfire. And clearly for anybody who is even in the hellfire, it will seem a very, very long time. And anybody who's in paradise, then it will be endless bliss anyway. So these are very relative things. These have to do with a person's pleasure and pain. And sometimes if something is very pleasurable, it doesn't matter how long it is. And if something is painful, then it doesn't matter how short it is. So these are relative things, and Allah knows best exactly how that realm works. But it doesn't mean that that realm has to also be counted in the same period of years as we count our time in this world. How 2 years feel, 50 years how they feel, how long they stretch. We don't know if that's the same thing that happens in the barzakh. So just to reiterate, all those who've died from this world and who will continue to die until the trumpet is blasted, they all go into this barzakh, and the people who will finally die at the blast of the trumpet will also go into the intermediate realm. The difference between this realm and that realm is that in this world, the body is stronger and primary. Our body is primary. That's where we feel everything. Our soul is also there, but our soul is secondary. The body, the jism of the human being is primary and the soul is secondary. In the grave, the soul is primary. And the body, if there is one, is secondary. That's why it doesn't matter if a person has been devoured, incinerated, cremated. The soul is the asal. The soul is where things will happen. The soul is the place on which things will take place, pleasure, pain, and so on and so forth. So the body is not completely irrelevant, but it's not as relevant. Whereas in this world, the body is important. And then in the hereafter, in the afterlife, both body and soul will be equivalent and complete. That's why a human will feel complete pleasure in paradise, in Jannah. And a person in hellfire will feel complete, excruciating pain that could never be felt in this world. But there the soul and the body will be complete and both together. No, one will not be primary over the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and behind them is a barzakh until the day when they are raised. When a person dies, we normally prepare them for burial. And clearly whatever a person takes from this world, there is an effect of that in this intermediate realm. Although a person will not necessarily enter the hellfire in this case, but it does become like a pit of hellfire for that person. If people praise a person when he passes away, that's a good sign. If people are relieved to see that person go, then clearly that's a bad sign for that person. When you look at the life in between the two, the barzakh, it is more closer to the afterlife than it is to this life. The things that happen there are more closer in nature. There's more affinity of the barzakh to the hereafter than to this world. And that's why you hardly ever see anybody come back and forth. The reason is that it's a place where the spirits are dominant. And the hereafter, there'll be a new body given to a human being. So, if we look at the people who died, who have already died, and who will continue to die while the world still remains, then if a person is not incinerated or devoured from the beginning, then he will be devoured by the earth. There are only two types of people that are exempted from that. One are the prophets, the anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited the earth from consuming or devouring, decomposing the bodies of the anbiya, the prophets. In fact, the hadith mentions, as in the collection of Imam Bayhaqi, Hayatul Anbiya, there's one hadith which even says that they are alive in their graves and they're also making salat in their graves. This is for the anbiya. And also for the shuhada, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very clearly in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That do not for a moment, there's emphasis in this word, do not ever think that those who have been killed in the path of Allah, that they are dead. Dead as you know dead people. They're not dead like that. They've left this world. They may have died a worldly death, but they are not dead like others. If that wasn't sufficient, Allah then reiterates by saying, بَلْ أَحْيَا. They are alive. They are live people. And to prove it even more, عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They're given sustenance. They're given to eat by their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing over and over again, just so nobody is mistaken about that. So, and many witnesses have seen this, where somebody's body was moved, had to be moved after a while, for whatever reason, the body was as fresh as it could have ever been. And there was no wear and tear in the body. In fact, even the wound was totally fresh. So do not think that those who are slain in the way of Allah are dead. Nay, they are living with their Lord provided for. About the shuhada, what's mentioned is that their souls, which are primary as I mentioned, they are in the inside green birds who freely move around in Jannah. But then there are some that have to stay outside. They are taken to the door. They're also shuhada. They're taken to the door, but they're not allowed to go inside. They're the ones who've been prevented by debt. That's why the ulama have a difference of opinion. Because there's a hadith which says that for a shaheed, everything is forgiven except debt. So debt is so important. Debt to others. You owe something to someone else. That prevents even a shaheed from being completely forgiven. From totally entering into paradise is prevented at the door. So imagine the rest of us who are not shaheed. It's been related that the souls of believers who will be inside white birds which feed on the garden's fruit. So there are a number of other ahadith that kind of give an indication of what happens. One day, there was a funeral procession. If a person has been righteous and his janazah is being taken, it says, advance, advance. If the person had been otherwise, it says, woe is me. Where are you taking me? So the good person is saying, quickly, quickly, quickly. And the other person is dreading, where are you taking me? But the Prophet ﷺ said, make haste with the funeral procession. Because if he's a righteous person, then you're taking him only to goodness. So hurry up and take him to his goodness. This world is not for him there anymore. Don't wait for so-and-so to come from this city and that city. Let him go. And if it is otherwise, then it is an evil which will you are unloading from your neck. So hurry up and do it. May Allah protect us from that state. Do dead people hear what's going on around them? There is a lot of difference of opinion about this. There's one hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a dead person is placed in the grave, he hears the footsteps of the people who've come to bury him walking away. You've got that hadith. You've got another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing those leaders of the Quraysh that were killed during the Battle of Badr, and they'd been thrown into the well, into a dry well. And some of the people around him, some of the Sahaba, began to ask him that, how are you speaking to them? Can they hear? So the Prophet ﷺ said that do not think that you can hear more than they can, indicating that they could hear. So some ulama, they say, but then in the Quran it says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that you will also be dead and they will also be dead. There are Quranic verses to that effect. So some seem to indicate that there is nothing that they can hear, and yet in other hadith it indicates that they can. So there's a group of ulama that who say that they cannot hear, but then in these two cases that they were special cases. So this was a miracle that the Prophet ﷺ was able to speak to these leaders of the Quraysh to just make their torment even more, to prove something to them. That didn't we tell you that this was going to be your state, your ending, if you carried on this way? So this was just to make them feel conscious about it. So this was a special case scenario. And about the walking away, the footsteps of the people who've come to bury someone, that's just the initial period. After that, they don't hear. That's the opinion of those who say that. And there are others who say, no, there's a likelihood. We say Allah knows best. What Shaykh Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad says, the dead person perceives and is aware of those who wash, shroud and bury him. So if you're washing someone, be very careful. According to his opinion, that they can feel it. They can sense it. It has been said that the spirit is held by an angel who stands near him and walks with it in his funeral, so that he hears all that is said about him, whether good or evil. The best thing is, we're told not to speak bad about the dead anyway. So that's the best thing to do. Uthman radiallahu anhu was, whenever he passed by a grave, that was the most emotional thing for him, it seemed. That's when he would cry most. And when he was asked, why do you cry so much here and not as much elsewhere? He said that I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the grave is the first of the hereafter's stages. If one is saved from it, meaning if someone is saved from the evil of it, then what comes after is going to be easier because that's the sign for him. But if one is not saved from it, then what comes next is even harder. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about the grave has an oppressive tightness. It crushes. And were it possible for anyone to escape this, the Prophet ﷺ said, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh would have done so. For he is the one for whom the throne of Allah shook. But even he was squeezed. But the squeezing of the good people is better than the squeezing of the evil people. But there is a squeezing that the grave does, which everybody will feel to some degree. It is said that out of all of the sins, when you look at them, that are said to effect punishment in the grave, then there are three things that stand out. One is slander. When you make allegations about somebody having done something that is not true, that's serious. Then another one is calumny, which is to talebearing, to go and say one thing to one person, another thing to another person, trying to cause kind of friction and evil, getting your own fun out of it, or getting some personal benefit out of it. Namima. And the third one, which many people may consider to be very insignificant, is to be soiled with your urine, and not being careful about how one relieves themselves, the method by which they relieve themselves, and how they wash themselves and clean themselves and stay clean. So for example, not washing up properly, not doing istibra. Istibra means to make sure that when you relieve yourself, you are confident 100% that every drop has come out. And for men, this is something that they have to be concerned about, because sometimes drops remain in the tract and they don't come out, they come out afterwards. That's why it's encouraged to either sit up and down, swallow, you know, make some movement, do different things to try to ensure that every last drop comes out. Because if the clothing is soiled, then the punishment of the grave, subhanAllah. The punishment of the grave. Aside from the fact that your salat will be invalid most likely and all the rest of it, but the punishment in the grave, subhanAllah. So now we learned last week that this world will come to an end by the blast of the angel. After that, it says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the horn is blown, and all who are in the heavens and the earth fall down in a swoon. So they all kind of become unconscious. Save him whom Allah wills. So with that we understand that there will be some people who will be protected from swooning at that time. That could be the angels. The angels. This is obviously the first blast which is the last point of this world, after which all living creatures will die. So no living creature will live after this. After that, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. Even Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, angel of death, they will all be put to death, according to one opinion. According to another opinion, some of them may remain. But according to the other opinion, that even all of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell some of them to give death to the other, and then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the final one of the angels to die. Whether that the final one is Jibreel alayhi salam or Malakul Maut, the angel of death. But eventually there will be no living being. Absolutely every living being will have lost their life and would have died. This is the first phase. The second phase, so this is the first phase of the final entry into the barzakh. Then there's going to be another blast, and everything will be returned back to life. However, as Allah says, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then it is blown another time, and they stand awaiting. Between these two blasts is 40 years. Now what happens in these 40 years? Exactly who are the people that will not die during this time? Because remember, the angels are, the prophets are still alive in their graves, or were alive in their graves. And also the martyrs were alive in their graves. So where Allah says that except those whom Allah wills, it, according to some scholars, this refers to the angels. Some say it refers to the prophets. Some say that it refers to the martyrs, the shuhada. And this opinion is the preferable one. There are also other opinions. So after all of the signs of this world go by, you know, the shaitan comes towards the end and he gets people to start worshipping idols again. And then after that, the horn will be blown and all those who hear it will cock their head to one side listening. The first to hear it will be a man puddling his camel's drinking pond with clay, as we spoke about last week. After which everyone will swoon. Then Allah will send down a drizzling rain, which will cause the bodies to grow. So after 40 years when there's been nothing, nothing alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then send the ma'ul hayat, the water of life. And with that, the bodies will grow. The second blast, after which they'll be standing waiting, will be said, O people, to your Lord, waqifuhum, innahum mas'ulun, let them stand, for now they are to be questioned. Then will be sent, bring the fire's contingent, meaning bring the group that is to go to the hellfire. How many from how many? From every thousand? From every thousand, 999. 999 from every thousand is the group to go to the hellfire. And this will be the day which renders children grey-haired, as Allah says in the Quran, and the day when it befalls in earnest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the middle of this, when everybody's died, He will grasp the earth, fold up the heavens in His right hand, and He will say, I am the King. Where are the kings of the earth? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will fold up the heavens on the day of rising, take them in His right hand. He will then say, I am the King. Where are the tyrants? Where are the arrogant? He will then fold up the earth in His left hand and say, I am the King. Where are the tyrants? Where are the arrogant? Who is going to speak? And he said, Islam will wear out. In a way, a garment becomes worn out until no one knows what is fasting. We've read that hadith. And then also, we've read most of the signs, so we don't need to go through the signs again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then command Israfil alayhi salam. So Israfil alayhi salam will be brought back to life. And then he will command him to blow the horn a second time. And the horn is blown. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ. And lo, from their graves they hasten to their Lord. Then it is blown another time. And all of these are verses from the Quran. Then it is blown another time. And then they stand waiting. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And then those who disbelieve claim that they will not be raised again. Say, nay, by your Lord you will be raised again, and then you will be informed of what you did. And that is easy for Allah. Your creation and your resurrection were only a single soul, were only as a single soul. Allah is the hearer and knower. Abu Razin al-Uqaydi said, I once asked, O Messenger of Allah, how does Allah originate creation? And what is the sign of that in His creation? Give me an example. He replied, have you never crossed your people's valley when it was barren? A piece of land where it was completely desolate, nothing going on there. Then you crossed it again after a few years, and it was swaying with greenery. I said, indeed, I've seen that. He told me that is the sign in His creation. That is the way humans will come back to life. Allama Qurtubi, we covered his book on the names of Allah. He's a great mufassir of the Quran, an Andalusian scholar of southern Spain during the Muslim times. He's got a book called At-Tadhkira. At-Tadhkira is about the Akhirah. It's a special compilation on the hereafter. He has related in there a very, very interesting hadith that goes through this in detail. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once spoke to us, the companion said, and he narrated this hadith until he came to his saying, on the day when the earth shall be changed to other than the earth. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّرُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. He read this verse of the Qur'an. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّرُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Which means, on the day when the earth shall be changed to other than the earth and the heavens, and they will come forth before Allah, the One, the Invincible. After which he said, after this, the Prophet ﷺ continued the hadith. He said, Allah will level it, the earth, then spread it just as a person spreads an ukadhi rug, a leather rug, just totally fine, straight, without any crookedness whatsoever. No curvature. Neither crookedness, nor curvature. Allah will then drive the people in one cry. And they will be in the changed earth, in the same state that they had been before. Those who are inside it will be inside it. Those who are on its surface will be on its surface. Those who died finally, those who died at the end, those who died before and were buried, they'll be the same way. Allah will then send down upon you from beneath the throne water called the life, the hayawan. And it shall rain for 40 days until the water has risen 12 arms length above you. Then He will give His command to the bodies, which will grow just as the plants and vegetables grow, until when your bodies are fully formed, as they had been, Allah the Exalted shall declare, let the bearers of the throne return to life. The bearers of the throne are the angels that carry the throne. And this will take place. Then He will say, let Jibril, Mikael and Israfil come back to life. So it looks like the angels, all of these angels, according to this opinion, according to this hadith, all the angels would have gone as well. And the first of the angels to come back to life will be the angels that carry the throne. And then Jibril, Mikael and Israfil. And Israfil will be commanded to take the horn then. After which Allah the Exalted will call the spirits, the ruh, the arwah, the souls, which will be brought to Him. The Muslims glowing with light. And the others will be dark. These will be the souls, the glowing with light, and the others will be dark. He will cast them into the horn. All of these souls will be cast into the horn. So this horn that will be blown, Israfil is brought back to life. He has the horn. He hasn't blasted it yet. All these souls are put into the horn according to this narration. Then He will say to Israfil, blow the resurrection blast. The blast to resurrect. He blows and the spirits fly out like bees, filling the space between the heaven and the earth. And Allah will say, by My might and majesty, let each spirit return to its body. Go, let every spirit find the body that it was originally in. This is going to be a new body now. And the spirits will repair to their bodies, enter through the nostrils. So the spirits will enter through the nostrils and spread as venom spreads in a man who is bitten. How fast poison spreads throughout the veins, so the spirit will spread, just to show how fast it will spread and infuse every part of him. Then the earth shall split apart from around you. And I shall be the first, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I shall be the first for whom it shall do so. The earth will open up for me first. You will emerge as young people of 33 years old. Everybody will be of this 33 years of age, regardless of what age they died. While the language on that day, according to this narration, will be Syriac. Syriac. It's an old language. Suryani. Quickly they hurry to their Lord, hastening towards the summoner. The disbeliever saying, this is a hard day. That is the day of emerging. And we assemble them and leave not one of them. So it's been mentioned in the hadith, that's the end of the hadith. It's been mentioned in the hadith that humans rot away entirely with the exception of one bone. The tip of the sacrum, the coccyx according to some. Which is a tiny bone at the end of the spine. That part is left. It's left there somewhere in the ground, wherever. It's left, that much is left. When Allah, who is of mighty ability, wishes to resurrect mankind, the sky pours down a rain, which resembles, it says, it resembles male sperm. That's what the author is mentioning. After which they grow from the places where they were buried. So everybody will regrow from the places they were buried, in the way that crops grow. Then Israfil is resurrected and commands him to blow the horn for the resurrection. Then the spirits will be returned after that into the bodies. The earth then splits up and the graves are overturned. The bodies and spirits are summoned to stand before Allah, the exalted, the standing place for the resurrection. As Allah says, and on the day when we cause the mountains to move, نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ, and you see the earth emerging, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً, and we assemble them and leave not one of them. And they are set before their Lord in ranks. You have come to us as we created you at first. But you thought that we would set no time for you. On the day when the earth splits from around them, hastening forth, that is a gathering easy for us. That's easy for us to do all of that. The Prophet ﷺ said, a man dies in accordance with what he has lived in, and is resurrected in accordance to what he has died in. Mankind, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, will be resurrected barefoot. This is mentioned clearly in a hadith that everybody will be resurrected what? Barefoot, naked, uncircumcised, with women and men mixing. At this time, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard this, she said, Ya Allah, oh shame, each looking at one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the situation will be too desperate for them to be worried by that. Nobody will be caring about any, it's all about themselves. Then he said, people shall be gathered more hungry than they've ever been. You grow up in the morning, you're hungry. You've just been asleep for 40 years or more. 40 years are the people of the last of the people. Other people will have been slept, would have been there for a lot longer. More thirsty than they'd ever been. More naked than they'd ever been. And more exhausted than they've ever been. Those who had given food for Allah's sake will be fed by Him on that day. The Prophet ﷺ used to always say, أطعم الطعام. Feed people, feed people. So you know there's people who like to take people out to eat. A few people in our community like that. You know, people know them. It's a good trait. Not wasting money. Wasting money is not a good trait. But this feeling of always want to feed someone. You know, there was a person just recently. He went with his wife and child to a person's house who sells computers in his home. Right? You're going to buy something. So, got stuff all over the place because he's moving or something. And firstly, he sees that the person's brought his wife and, okay, you know, we have to make a place for you to sit. And the person said, don't worry about it. You know, we're just here for 2 minutes just looking at the computer and, you know, whatever. So he insisted on moving stuff out of the way, sat down, went, got some drinks, and insisted on that. And it wasn't to make a sale. Because what the person said is that he mentioned to him that I've got this particular type of computer. He said, well, you've got a better computer than this one. There's no point in you buying this one. Keep what you have. So it was pure hospitality. Pure hospitality. Right? So these things are not insignificant. You know, alhamdulillah, we have this in our culture. You know, the Asian culture is very, very good about, sometimes they're overdue trying to feed people. Insist that you eat lots. Throw lots of stuff in your plate and so on. Right? But the basis of it is a good basis, you know, to ensure that you feed someone. And there's a big deal about that, because on the Day of Judgment, you'll be fed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, those who had given food for Allah's sake will be fed by Him. Those who had given drink for Allah's sake will be given to drink by Him. And those who had given clothes for Allah's sake will be clothed by Him. And those who had acted for Allah's sake will be protected by Him. So these are all of the things that will eventually come up at that time. Now, once everybody is out of their graves. So remember now, everybody's been regrown. They have a new body. Now they're out of their graves. The soul is back in. They're alive now. And they're hungry, thirsty. Very tired. Now, they are told to walk to the place of gathering. And it is said that this will happen in the holy land of Syria, of Sham. So if you die, try to die close to the area. You have less walking to do. You have less walking to do. Towards that which will be, they will be driven by angels. It's also been related that Allah will cause a fire to come from the lower part of Adan, or the valley of Barhut, which is in the south of Hadramaut. Remember we read about that in the last two sessions. So some ulama said that that is a gathering, a pushing by the fire, a driving by the fire before the end of the days of this world. But others said it was about afterwards. So this is according to the opinion that this is going to happen afterwards. But there definitely will be something pushing a person at that time, will be driving a person. It will accompany them wherever they walk, stop, and when they rest, and will be with them in the evening and the morning, moving at the pace of camels. People will then see their deeds appearing before them. As they're walking, this is when people will start seeing their deeds. This is the time when you'll either see the burden of your deeds if they've been evil, and you'll see the benefits of the deeds if they've been good. The good ones will comfort and accompany them. The wicked deeds will reproach them and make them feel desolate. They may even climb on their backs and force them to carry them. These sins of ours, these deeds, they will come in physical form and climb on our backs. So not only do we have to drag ourselves, but we have to also drag the sins that we've accumulated as well. Allah says, they bear the burdens upon their backs. Evil is that which they bear. They will surely bear their own loads and other loads besides their loads. They will surely be questioned on the day of rising concerning that which they had invented. Each person will also be accompanied by his recording angels, who has taken down all the actions in this worldly life. Because it says, every soul comes along with its driver and a witness. Sa'ikun wa shaheed. Evil deeds committed in the world by people who died unrepentant, did not make tawbah before they died, will become manifest upon them. Usurers, for instance, will see their stomachs grow so large that as they walk, these are people who are taking interest. These are people who are using interest money. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They will see their stomach grow so large as they walk that they are constantly overbalanced by their weight and they stumble over. It's just going to take much longer to go there, to walk. And you have to walk. Adulterers will see their genitals swell so large that they will have to drag them along on the ground. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Alcohol drinkers will come to the gatherings with their cups in their hands. Liars, backbiters and slanderers will see their tongue lengthen until they reach their chests. Those who withheld their zakat will have their money made manifest in the shape of large snakes coiled around them. The arrogant will be brought in the form of small ants, trodden both by the good and the depraved. So on that day they'll be very small, they'll be having to dodge people. People be walking over them. Crushed like ants. And so shall it continue. The guilty will be known by their marks and will be seized by the forelocks and the feet. يُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. The guilty will be known by their marks and will be seized by the forelocks and the feet. Three groups of people have been described in the hadith, who have been described in the hadith, are to be gathered on the day of rising. Those who will ride, those who will walk on their feet, and those who will walk on their faces. For the one who made them walk on their feet is capable of making them walk on their faces. And one final hadith before, because there's a lot of description, but we'll just read one final hadith and we'll carry on inshaAllah next time. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, I once asked, O Messenger of Allah, what of the saying of Allah on the day when the horn is to be blown and you shall come in hosts, in groups? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you ask about a very formidable thing. Then he wept abundantly and said, 10 different kinds of people of my nation will be gathered in groups distinct from the groupings of the Muslims. Their forms will have changed. Some will have the forms of monkeys. Others the forms of pigs. Others will be upside down, their legs upwards being dragged on their faces. Some will be blind, hesitant. Others will be deaf and dumb, lacking in reason. Others still will be chewing their tongues, which will hang on their chests. And their saliva will be pus, so that they disgust the other people of the gathering. Some will have their hands and feet cut off. Some will be crucified on tree trunks of fire. Some will be fouler than putrid cadavers, dead meat. And some will wear flowing robes of tar. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانِ وَتَخْشَى وَجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. As for those whose form resembles monkeys, they are the slanderers. Those who are the forms of pigs are the people of ill-gotten, illicit and unlawfully taxed money. Those whose heads and faces are beneath them are those who consumed usury. The blind are those who ruled with tyranny, who were oppressive. The deaf and dumb are those who are proud of their actions. Those who chew their tongues are the ulama and judges whose conduct differed from their words. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Those whose hands and feet are cut off are those who injured their neighbors. Those who are crucified on trunks of fire are those who frequently denounce people to the authorities, constantly telling on people. Subhanallah. It's a bad thing. Those fouler than the putrid bodies and cadavers are those who enjoyed passions and pleasures but withheld Allah's due in their wealth, didn't give their zakat. And those who wear the robes are the arrogant, the boastful and the conceited. This is related by Imam Qurtubi. This hadith is related by Imam Qurtubi in his Tadhkira. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people will be gathered in a shining white land resembling pure flour, where there will be signs for no one. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, mankind will be gathered on a single plane. Each will hear the summoner. The eyesight will be penetrating. This is the standing place of the day of rising, where all creatures will be assembled. Jinn, men, shayateen, cattle, wild beasts and predators. Then the angels, upon whom be peace, shall descend to them at Allah's command and surround them rank upon rank. And the criminals and the unjust will find no place to flee. Allah has said, O company of the jinn and the ins, the jinn and men, if you have power to penetrate all regions of the heavens and the earth, then do so. You will never penetrate them, save with our sanction. Which is it of the favors of your Lord that you deny? There will be sent flames against you, flames of fire and brass, and you will not escape. And it continues. This is only beginning. This is only the beginning. It gets even more tormenting, the day of judgment. But it'll be easy for the people who are good. Inshallah, we'll carry on next week. So we've moved from the intermediate realm to the resurrection, which is the fourth life. So now we're in the fourth life. And the fifth life is that of paradise and hell. So we've gone from the third life to the fourth life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of these stages good, pleasant, easy for us. Make us of the fortunate ones in the hereafter. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya zal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hanan ya mannan. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من كل الفتن. اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا. اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وقنا عذاب النار. وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب.